Father in heaven, we thank you for this freedom of access into your very presence, because in your love and goodness you have reached out to us. Thank you for redeeming us through the death of Christ. Thank you for the great salvation you have provided for us. Father, we thank you for your deep love, your concern for our well-being, not just in specific situations, but the totality of our lives and even through eternity. Thank you, Father, that you have not left us to grope in darkness, that you've given us the scriptures that can help us to know you, your ways, and to know how to live a life truly pleasing your sight and bearing fruit in every good work. We pray that you help us to understand your love toward us, your provisions for us, and how to respond well to your high calling, that you have the freedom to speak to us, that our minds may be renewed, our hearts refreshed, as we look to you together, in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 44th message. We are considering moral, spiritual beauty and stature of man, the 13th message. How to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, the 10th message. The subtopic for today, the scriptures. God has made many provisions for man to grow in the direction of perfection, in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, in conformity to the image of Christ. In the preceding three messages, we have seen God's provision and intentions for us in our working of church life and its relationship with making good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. We saw that this potential is great if church life is functioning well and the believer is properly integrated into church life. Today I want to consider together with you another major provision of God, the scriptures. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I'm sure all of us are very familiar with these two verses. Many of us may even be able to recite it from memory. However, I wonder whether have you ever thought of these two verses in this way? We know the scriptures are very important for us from many different angles, but if we look at these two verses, we find that it has a very direct bearing on the subject that we are considering, that is how to make good progress in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, not just indirectly but very directly. In these two verses Paul tells us all scripture is inspired by God, and then he tells us that there's a direction, there's a purpose. What is it? All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And all these have very much to do in helping us to grow morally and spiritually. And not only that, verse 17 tells us the goal, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we find that very directly here in these two verses, Paul tells us that God's intention in giving us the scriptures, the goal, the direction of it, the intent is for every believer, for the man of God, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Subsequently, we'll see further, adequate, equipped, which in times past I've also mentioned briefly, is that we may be completely ready, furnished. How can we be adequate, fully equipped for every good work? It's when we are mature morally and spiritually. And the scriptures is meant to, for our learning, to teach us, to correct us, and to help us to develop well morally, spiritually, to be trained in righteousness. The scriptures is God's provision for us so that we may learn, we may grow, and we may be properly equipped for every good work. So the learning, the growing must come first, and then we can be equipped for every good work. We want to serve the Lord, that's good. But the scriptural emphasis is that we must first be taught to become adequate and properly equipped for the good work that God desires us to accomplish. We look at the words, these words, which you are so familiar with, more carefully. All scripture is inspired by God. Let us not become over familiar with these words. The scriptures inspired by God. That should help us to appreciate and be clear in our minds. Why is it we emphasize the scriptures? Why do we say we need to learn from what the scriptures has to teach us? Why do we submit the teaching of the scriptures? It must spring forth from our desire to submit to God. And even as we seek to understand what the scriptures reveal, we must never forget that ultimately it's because of our desire to submit to God. The two must never be separated. As we read the scriptures, it must be motivated by a deep longing to submit to what God desires to speak to us and to teach us through the scriptures. Which means our concentration when we read the scriptures goes beyond just trying to understand the scriptures itself. But we must be motivated by a sincere desire to understand what is it that God is trying to communicate to us through the scriptures. You may think that is this really very different? It is, because as we'll see, the whole of the scriptures is inspired by God, all scripture. And we need to understand what God is trying to communicate to us through the scriptures. If we are not careful, then in the reading of scriptures, we may become very impressed with certain verses, certain passages, and as a result, we may fail to appreciate its proper place in the whole of the scriptures and what God is trying to communicate to us. We must also be careful that we do not turn to the scriptures and use the verses, the passages there to justify our own views, our own inclinations, or in our discussions with others to justify or to support our views by turning to the scriptures for justification. You may wonder, whether is that not what we have been doing all this while? Do we not have views and positions in order to support our stand? We turn to the scriptures to support our position. I'll explain what I mean. What I'm trying to put across is that our starting point is not our own views and position, and that must continue to be our approach. Throughout our lives, we must always constantly try to understand what is it that God is trying to teach us, trying to communicate to us through the scriptures. And even as we continue to build up our understanding of the truth, we must continually be open to fresh understanding of what God's real intent is, so that we will be able to continue to grow in an ever increasingly accurate understanding of the scriptures, motivated by desire to really understand what is it that God wants to speak to us and to teach us and to help us to understand through the scriptures. This must always be in our consciousness throughout our lives. And because scriptures is inspired by God, we must exercise care, great care, in the way we handle the scriptures and make every effort to be accurate. Accurate not just in trying to understand the words, but trying to understand what is it that God truly intends to communicate. In the preceding chapter, in the 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells us in verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." The word of truth, of course, has to do with what God has to say to us, our understanding of the truth that comes from the Lord. And Paul tells us we must be diligent if we want to, and to present ourselves approved to God. We want to be approved to God, we must be diligent. How? As a workman who does not need to be ashamed. How then will we not be ashamed? Very importantly, we must learn to accurately handle the word of truth. We cannot afford to be careless in this area. The truth is very precious, very important, it's from the Lord, and we want to understand it accurately. You see just the verse before and the verse after is a warning to us. Verse 14 says, "Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and lead to the ruin of hearers." Be careful. That's a wrong approach, just wrangling about words. But we must truly want to understand what is the truth. Not just what we prefer or what we think or what others may say, but we really sincerely want to understand what is it that God actually intends to communicate to us through the scriptures. Verse 16, "But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene." So be careful. A lot of that proper discussions concerning the truth should not degenerate into worldly empty chatter, whatever may be the context. As believers, we want to present ourselves approved to God. We want to handle accurately the word of truth. We want to understand the truth accurately. And God has given us the scriptures so that there can be objective basis for us to read, to study, to understand for ourselves, and also amongst God's children, as we discuss. It will not just be one man's opinion against another's, but we all sincerely look to the Lord together to understand the scriptures together. Not just whether my view is correct or your view is correct, but all of us are trying to understand what is it that God is trying to say. And in any way, anyone can help us to understand the scriptures more accurately, we must be genuinely very thankful. Not just at the concluding part, but even the process all along. We must have this deep desire to understand the truth, and in whatever way we can be helped to understand. All scripture is inspired by God. Because it's inspired by God, we want to handle the scriptures with great care, which means we must be careful and slow to say, this is what the scriptures teach, in a definite sense. Not that there's no place for that. But if we properly appreciate the meaning of the statement, all scripture is inspired by God, it includes that we should not overstate the clarity of our understanding of the issues under consideration, but we should only present to the degree we can understand on the basis of what we are able to infer from the scriptures. Yes, there's a place to state the clear as clear. We should not state everything as unclear. For example, we cannot say, "I think Christ died for our sins," or "I hope that my sins can be forgiven if I trust in the Lord, or since I have trusted in the Lord. There are clear teachings of the scriptures which we shouldn't be ambiguous about. But there are areas that are not so clear, then we must be careful not to state it as clear. So the not so clear should be stated as not so clear. But there's also a place for us to indicate the degree of clarity. Some areas of truth are very clear. Some we are reasonably clear, but not yet very, very clear. But some are quite unclear. And it is always important for us at a personal level to know the biblical basis of our convictions, of our understanding of the truth. When we know the biblical basis, it's not only important as an implication of our acknowledgement of the authority of the scriptures, but it will also help us to develop, to modify, to change our understanding in the light of fresh development in our appreciation of the scriptural revelation on the issue or the subject, either in our own personal study with passing time or input from others. We should be slow to change our understanding just by on the basis of what others say. Although we can give weight to what others say related to our appreciation of their spiritual stature and understanding in general, but ultimately we want to understand what is the basis according to the revelation of the scriptures, and our ultimate grounding must be what the scriptures truly teach, because man is fallible. So there is a place for us to say, to assert, this is what the scriptures teach, but let us also bear in mind that it is a serious matter to say this is what the scriptures teaches when in fact it is not so, because then we are saying this is what God is trying to communicate to us, and we have misrepresented the intent of God, and that is serious. All scripture is inspired by God, which means, yes, there are some verses which we may especially appreciate. There are some passages or some books that we find particularly meaningful to us. There's a place for that. But we must be careful not just to concentrate on our favorite verses, passages, or even books of the Bible. We must seek to understand what God has revealed in the whole Bible. If we just concentrate on passages, verses, or even some selected books of the Bible, then we may misunderstand what is God's true intent. We may not have a wholesome appreciation. If we just keep pondering on the meaning of ask and it shall be given unto you, we may have a very wrong understanding of the subject of answers to prayer. And we may think that so long as we ask, then God will give it to us. Or if we ask with the right motive, then God will give it to us. Or we ask in faith, God will give it to us. But in reality, and we've considered this subject in past messages, that it is not so simple, it is more complex. The Lord Jesus prayed for unity. He is the perfect man, God-man. He's effective. His prayer is extremely effective, powerful. He prayed according to the will of God with the right motives. But in spite of the effectiveness of the prayer of the Lord Jesus to God the Father, he prayed in John 17, a very strong emphasis. He prayed, mentioned that several times in his prayer for the unity amongst God's people. But so many years after that prayer has been uttered by the Lord Jesus, we know that there is still significant problems in this area of unity amongst God's children. All scripture is inspired by God implies that we should read through the whole Bible prayerfully. And as we do so, we pass to continually look to the Lord to help us to understand not just the specific verse that we are reading, the specific passage we are reading, but because we've been reading through the Bible prayerfully again and again, to ask the Lord to help us understand what are some of the major things that He wants to communicate to us and to understand it in a wholesome manner. What is it that God is trying to communicate to us through the Scriptures? This is what we must continually seek the Lord for understanding. What are the important things in His heart which He wants us to understand, to absorb, and to live accordingly? Yes, there are times when we read the Scriptures and it meets our specific need for the moment, and we are very glad. And some are very thrilled. What they are going through, they read the Scriptures, and to them, sometimes correctly, sometimes wrongly, they think God is speaking to them concerning the matter. There is a place for that, but beyond that, we must long to understand and to recognize that there are major areas of truth that are abiding, that do not change with circumstances, that God wants to communicate to His children. Yes, some of these areas of truth are quite difficult for us to understand on our own. There are others who can help us. God raised up preachers, teachers. But we must still do our part as we read, to confirm, to look to the Lord, to see whether these understandings, are they sound, are they accurate? And then to look to the Lord that there can be a growing appreciation and conviction in our own hearts that we truly grasp these things. There are many things, even though sound, accurate, wholesome, they have been communicated to us, and we think we understand, but we may not have properly appreciated them, absorbed them, so that they become a part of our lives and influence the way we view things. Our perspective, our values, is it really consistent with the perspective of God's kingdom, which is what God is trying to communicate to us through the Scriptures? This is a very fundamental area, but many believers are very lacking in this area, to be able to absorb, understand many of the major issues so that they become a part of our lives and they form the basis on which we view things, we evaluate things. Some of the major areas of truth that we must seek to understand, grapple with, and seek to understand from the Scriptures include understanding God, our knowledge of God, a wholesome appreciation. There are some passages that emphasize on the love of God. Good. But to have a wholesome appreciation of the love of God, we also need to understand other passages, not just a particular passage. And there are many different attributes of God. Do we have a wholesome understanding of God? And the ways of God. The Scriptures continually speak of these things. Another major area that we need to understand is man and how God has created man. We've been considering these things, how God has created us as moral, spiritual beings. That's part of the meaning of being created in the image of God. Do we understand these things? What do these things mean? What are the implications? And then linked together with that, these two aspects would be God's intentions for man, which is related to who God is, and also how He has created us. God's intentions for man, and what is it that God requires of man, and how God wants His intentions to be fulfilled so that indeed we can cooperate with God and His will be fulfilled. That we will not be trying very hard to try to fulfill what is not required of us, to try to shoulder what is never God's intentions for us. Don't try to do that. Nor fail to concentrate on what is really important that God wants us to concentrate upon. Are we concentrating on the right things? We also need to understand the plight of man. Yes, God has created us with great potential. He's lofty intentions for man. But what is the plight of man? Starting with those who do not yet know God. But not only those who do not yet know God, even believers. There are a lot of problems in the hearts of men. The scriptures reveal that very clearly to us, even men of God. Do we read the scriptures and through it prayerfully look to the Lord to speak to us so that we can recognize that indeed there's a lot that God and the Spirit of God can speak to us through the scriptures for us to recognize our own hearts and the many, many things that need to change, that we can become more and more conformed to the image of Christ, and also helping us to understand other people, not just ourselves. Never become hypercritical nor cynical, but at the same time, do not be naive and ignorant. God doesn't want us to belong, to be in that kind of state, but He wants us to grow in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, to have an accurate understanding of the truth, accurate understanding of God, of man, of ourselves, of others, of situation, so that we can effectively respond and cooperate with the Lord and His will fulfilled. Related to the preceding, a very major aspect that we want to understand. It's a very major area of truth that God wants to reveal to us in the scriptures that we cannot afford to be vague about, but we want to have a good understanding, a good grasp. It has to do with the provisions of God for men. God has made many provisions for us. What are God's provisions for men, especially His great salvation plan for mankind in and through the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ is a very major area of truth that God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. And the Lord willing, in the subsequent message, I would probably emphasize this again, that through the scriptures, a very major aspect that God wants to communicate to us is not only that we may know more about Christ, not just more about Christ and who He is, although it includes that, but a very major aspect pertaining to Christ that God wants to communicate to us is the person of Christ. That if we read the scriptures prayerfully, first we need to be reconciled back to God through Christ, whereby there is this knowledge of Christ as a beginning point. But throughout our lives, as we read the scriptures, God wants to communicate so that we know more and more the being of Christ, not just knowledge about Him and what it means to be in Christ, the spiritual reality of the being of Christ, an appreciation of the Lord Jesus and our knowledge of Him, our relationship with Him, not just knowing about Him. And the body of Christ, the church, our working of church life, and the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. All these are major areas of truth. They are interrelated. We can summarize the whole thing as knowing God, His intentions for man, and His provisions for man, and the fulfillment of God's purposes and man's part in it. Basically, the scriptures have been given to us for these purposes. For the individual, for every believer, that we may know the Lord, know His intentions for us, His provisions, what are His purposes, and man's part in it, so that we can rise up to God's calling, and also together as His people. So the wrong approach would be to begin with our own ideas, inclinations, biases, and then look through the scriptures for verses, passages to support our view. And bear in mind that we do have our own ideas. When we become Christians, it doesn't mean that we read the script. When we become Christians, it does not mean that we read the scriptures with a blank mind. We have our past experiences, background, and so on. So we all do have our own our background, inclinations, biases, and so on. And we must be careful not to superimpose these on the truth. And so the truth becomes tainted by our own biases. It is difficult, more difficult than many of us realize. Many of these biases may be influencing us without our realizing it. So there needs to be a conscious, deliberate effort as we read the scriptures to look to the Lord to help us to understand what is it that God is trying to communicate, free from biases, inclinations of our hearts, and ideas that we have accumulated over the years that are not in accordance with the truth. And we need constantly to ask the Lord to help us to approach the scriptures in this way as we read and also as we hear the preaching of the truth, as well as in various contexts of discussions. That together as God's people, we all seek and are glad if anyone can help us to understand what the scriptures really teach, and not just trying to push through our own ideas, and very glad if our own ideas are adopted, but rather all of us trying to understand, and very glad if together we can have become to a closer understanding, a more accurate understanding of what God indeed wants to communicate through the scriptures. And at a personal level, as well as if together, as God's people, we have this approach, not just pay lip service to it, but in our hearts, a sincere desire, then we can trust the Lord that by His Spirit, He will help us. And more we can arrive at a more wholesome, accurate understanding of what God indeed wants to communicate to us, and especially the major areas of truth. Yes, there will continue to be areas that we may not be so clear about. We need not be unduly perturbed. There are many issues that are not so easy to understand. But there are also many areas whereby we not only can have an accurate understanding and have a clear understanding, but beyond that, we also want to understand the reality of these things and what they imply. For example, we may all recognize God is sovereign. In a congregation, nobody may dispute that point. God is totally sovereign. We may all agree. But how do we appreciate the meaning of it? The spiritual reality. What does this mean? As we read the scriptures, as we discuss, as we share, if our hearts are opened, then the Spirit of God can teach us, grant us insight, and the meaning and the reality of God's sovereignty can more and more grow in our hearts and our minds. Our minds being renewed and our hearts refreshed and enriched by an increasing appreciation of the meaning of God's sovereignty, and how we then live our lives with this perspective and this reality. And this is something that can grow with increasing depth of reality and measure. Likewise, our appreciation of God's love for us. When we become Christians, likely all of us appreciate God's love. But as we read the scriptures prayerfully, through different passages, we can grow in increasing appreciation of the depth and the meaning of God's love. Not just understanding with our minds, but in our heart, in our spirit. Likewise, as we share, as we interact, as we fellowship with one another, if our attitudes are right, we are prayerful, then we can grow in our appreciation of these things, consistent with how God has revealed of Himself in the scriptures, not contrary to it. So the correct approach is to read the scriptures to understand what God is trying to tell us, to teach us, to reveal to us. That must be a continuing approach in our hearts as we read, in our personal time with the Lord, as well as when we study the scriptures together. When we are trying to understand an issue, a point, a principle, an area of truth, whether it be the sovereignty of God, answers to prayer, or any other area, it is important for us to seek to understand the teaching of the whole Bible on that subject, that area, that issue, and not quickly conclude or be overconfident on the basis of one or two verses or one or two passages. Yes, we say this verse or this passage seems to indicate in that direction. But beyond that, we want to understand the teaching of the whole Bible on that subject, on that area. Which means we want to be a bit slow, to be overconfident in our understanding, our grasp of that area. Because we know the whole Bible, the teaching of the whole Bible on that point, it's not easy to arrive at. If we do not do that, if that's not in our consciousness, if we're not careful, then it is very easy for us to arrive at a wrong understanding or an unwholesome understanding. And this is very prevalent amongst God's people. And we should exercise up care on our part as much as we can to arrive at an accurate, wholesome understanding. As we've seen, Paul says, this is the way that we can be approved of God. He wants us to handle accurately the word of truth. Although the word of truth there is not a direct reference to the scriptures, it pertains to all areas of truth that God wants us to understand, but it includes the principle that includes our understanding of the truth revealed in the scriptures. And in fact, scriptural revelation is a primary source of our knowledge of objective truth that God wants to communicate to us. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. When we read the scriptures prayerfully, the Lord can speak to us through the scriptures and teach us the truth. And we should read the scriptures with this attitude of heart, for the Lord to teach us. It's profitable for teaching. But not only for teaching, also for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. That means we must read the scriptures with receptive hearts, tender hearts, not hardened hearts. That the Lord can speak to us, not only to teach us the truth, but also to search our hearts and our spirit. Is there anything amiss in our spirit? Is there anything amiss in our lives? God can speak to us and search our hearts through the truth revealed in the scriptures. Show us where we are wrong, areas in our lives that are not right, and how they can be put right. Let us not put barriers in the path of the Lord. Let us instead be very glad if we can hear what the Lord wants to tell us, and we can recognize the areas that are wrong. That is the way that we can then take steps to correct it and grow and attain to God's intent for us through the scriptures, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Otherwise, we not only read the scriptures in vain, our hearts will become more and more hardened, because God's intention is to speak to us through the scriptures, but we are not hearing. And whenever God speaks to us and we do not hear, we will become more hardened and you'll become more difficult for us the next time around to recognize the truth. God desires to speak to us not only about our own lives, our hearts, things that need to be put right, but also wrong, unwholesome understanding of issues. Let us not assume that all that we understand up to this point of time, they are all sound, they are all correct, and when we read the scriptures, we are trying just to add in some more. No. profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, includes our looking to the Lord to speak to us as we read the scriptures, because we know the scriptures inspired by God. It is truth, it is reliable, what the scriptures desire to teach. And we want the Lord to have the freedom to speak to us, to teach us, which includes helping us to recognize areas of understanding that are not wholesome. Whether it be truth revealed in the scriptures or understanding of people, of issues of life. And the Lord can speak to us in this way. If we are prayerful, we are receptive. Whatever is wrong, unwholesome in our understanding, let us look to the Lord that He may have the freedom to speak to us, to correct us, so that more and more our understanding, our direction in life may be conformed to how God desires us to understand issues, to approach life, to perceive things, to respond to situations in line with the meaning and the spirit of the scriptures, which is what, the Lord willing, I'll come to subsequently. Not just the words of the scriptures, but the meaning and the whole spirit of it. There is a spiritual dimension in the scriptures. God intends to train us or instruct us in the way of righteousness. And the scriptures can train us. God can speak to us through the scriptures to train us and instruct us in the way of righteousness as we absorb the truths and the principles, and our minds are renewed, our hearts are purified, and we become increasingly conformed to the image of Christ and the character of God and oneness with God. And that is the way we must read the scriptures. Not just try to understand the truth with our minds, but a heart hunger to understand, to absorb, and let the truth renew our minds, our understanding, and also to purify our hearts. Our hearts responding to the truth as we read, absorbing it. As we read the scriptures, as it reveals to us the Lord Jesus, are we trying to identify with His spirit what is in His heart, His character, and also for our understanding, insights into these areas to also then change our own heart and purify our heart. As we see His compassion for people, do we allow this truth to also change our heart to learn to be compassionate like Him? As we see His fervor, His earnestness in seeking to fulfill the will of God, do we read the scriptures, as we read these things, to let the truth also come into our hearts and also energize us and work within our hearts to bring about the same kind of earnestness, perseverance in the path of the will of God, undeterred by whatever the pain and difficulties that may be in the way. So indeed, we may be able to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. Just as He walked that path, we will also walk that path. As we read the scriptures, beyond trying to understand what Paul is trying to teach us in his epistles, do we also try to understand the spirit behind the epistles? And Paul, what is in Paul's heart? And whatever we can recognize in the heart of Paul, in his earnestness, the whole spirit with which he lived his life, we also, in our hearts, seek to identify with him and to be like him, just as he followed the Lord. Of course, when we read the scriptures, we do not try to identify and be like whatever is recorded. There are people whose lives are not meaningful. We do not identify in that way and learn to be like them, but we can still learn the other way around. Learn not to be like that. The wicked, the selfish, whom God disapproves of. But not just our own personal reading of the scriptures, how God can speak to us through the scriptures, and our minds renewed, our hearts purified, our lives enriched. God can also, through His servants, on the basis of what is revealed in the scriptures, equip His children and help them grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature. But I want to emphasize, bear in mind the qualifications here. It is God speaking through His servants, not just Christians speaking and saying things. We must try to understand, are there things that God can speak to us through His servants? And a way to be clear would be on the basis of what is revealed in the scriptures, not just men's opinions or assertions. We must be satisfied that what they speak is indeed what is revealed in the scriptures. We must take care, otherwise we can go astray. God does want to equip us, and one of the ways He equips us is through His servants, through other believers. We have seen this in Ephesians chapter 4, how God gives gifts to the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors and teachers and so on, to equip the saints for the work of service. Through preaching, through teaching, through fellowship, through admonishment, through His servants, God can speak to us and equip us and help us to learn to grow, so that God's children can be helped to grow in knowledge of the truth, and also for their lives to be searched out and to be corrected. As you listen to the preaching of the word, are our hearts opened for the truth to search our lives, to correct us, for God to speak to us? Are there things in our lives that need to change? Are there things that are not wholesome? Is there a negative spirit? Is there anything that we hold to that are not right in the eyes of the Lord? Are there areas of understanding of the truth that is not wholesome that God wants to correct? So as we listen, then we must also look to the Lord for our lives to be searched out, our understanding corrected by the truths and principles revealed in the scriptures. But this can take place through God's children. Yes, there are those whom God has specially raised, entrusted with the responsibility to preach, teach, counsel. But this principle also applies to all of God's children. All of God's children can help one another towards a more wholesome understanding of the truth. And also, our lives searched out and corrected in a context of fellowship, whether it be one-to-one, a small group, or in the regular home fellowship group meetings. We must always come into the midst of God's children with this openness that God may have the freedom to speak to us. And those who are opened will learn well, are in a better position to learn and to grow. And that is God's desire for us. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So bear in mind, there's a direction, the moral direction, the spiritual moral direction. And finally, the goal, the whole direction is so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That is the direction, that is the goal, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It is indeed wonderful if we can be equipped, not just for some things, but here Paul says equipped for every good work, whatever God desires of us. That's what God intends, that we be fully equipped, properly equipped, so that God's people can attain to God's intentions for them. So that the man of God here is a reference to all who are God's people, God's children. God wants all of us to be adequate, equipped for every good work, not just for some. I've mentioned in times past, I'll mention here again, the meaning of the text translated adequate has a sense of complete, capable, proficient, able to meet all demands, fit, sufficient, so that you can become proficient, able to meet all demands. The meaning of the text translated equipped there's some overlap meaning. Basically, it has the meaning of equipped, furnished, completely, fully, outfitted, furnished, supplied. And it's used to describe, for example, a wagon or a rescue boat, fully furnished, outfitted, supplied, so that you get ready for the rescue to go and perform is the rescue mission. Well, in a way, we can say one aspect of what we want to do as God's children is to rescue the perishing. But are we properly equipped, furnished, supplied, outfitted? The scriptures, God's intent is that through it we may be proficient, capable, able to meet all demands, fully, completely furnished, supplied, outfitted, so that we are ready for the task that God wants us to accomplish. But it has two dimensions to it. One is first for ourselves, that we may be proficient, that we may grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and that is a goal in itself. God wants us to rise up to his calling, which has to do with our moral, spiritual beauty and stature, to be conformed to the image of Christ. But the other direction, as we become proficient, capable, as we are morally, spiritually mature, then we are also equipped and able for the task, equipped for every good work. That is at the very heart of what God wants of each one of us, that we may be able to fully participate in the outworking of his purposes. If you ask Christians, is that the longing of our heart? I think many will say yes. But how can we be equipped? Not just by affirming very strongly yes. God has inspired the scriptures for our learning, so that we can be taught, trained, and instructed in the way of truth and righteousness, that we may grow in moral, spiritual beauty and stature, and be fully equipped for every good work, that we can be proficient, able to meet all the demands, and fulfill the perfect will of God for our lives, that we are able to participate fully in the outworking and fulfillment of God's purposes. That is God's intention. Let us approach the scriptures with this attitude of heart. It's in the same direction as what the Apostle James tells us. It's the goal of the various trials and testings that we go through. James tells us, we look at these two verses from time to time in James chapter 1. I will not refer to them again. James tells us that various trials that we go through is intended to help us so that we may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking in nothing. This is the same direction as what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 in church life. And God gives gifts so that God's children can become mature. Same word, the same meaning, the same direction. We've also looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. After verses 11 and 12, where Paul tells us God gives the apostles, prophets, pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, mature or complete, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So we see the interrelatedness of all these major areas of life. The scriptures is given for this purpose. Church life is God's provision for this purpose. How can church life function well? It must be on the basis of what is revealed in the scriptures, and church life must teach us to a degree it can teach us and help us to understand what God has revealed. Not just superficially, points here and there, but a faithful communication of the truth, the proper emphasis, direction, as much as we can, of what is in God's heart, that God's children may be properly equipped for the work of service, as Paul puts it here in Ephesians 4. And as he puts it in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, is to be equipped for every good work. The direction is the same. The Apostle James tells us, if you're walking with the Lord, the meaning of the trials that we go through, we need not be discouraged, deterred, but it is counted all joy when you encounter various trials, different kinds of trials. They are also meant for the same direction. So we see all these various major areas coming together. And the goal, we know, is what has been in God's heart even before the foundation of the world, that we conform to the image of Christ. Some comments. One, it is the solemn responsibility of all those to whom God has entrusted the task of preaching and teaching to discharge it with due care and diligence. It is a very heavy responsibility, a solemn responsibility. On their part, they must discharge it with care. But it is also the responsibility of others to uphold them in prayer in any way to assist them to discharge this responsibility well. And what is that? They are to help God's people to understand accurately and wholesomely all that God desires His children to understand according to His revelation in the Scriptures. That's a very major area. So that God's children can grow well in moral, spiritual beauty and stature and be fully equipped for every good work. That God's people may contribute effectively to the advancement of God's kingdom. But for this to work out well, to be wholesome, it includes helping the brethren to understand the truth as well as the practical outworking. How these truths can be absorbed and worked out. And areas of problems from time to time that needs to be looked into. The total approach. And that is what we have. Together in church life, that's God's intent. We must work in that direction. Do not be deterred by the difficulties in the way. There will be difficulties if we want to obey the Lord. The spiritual opposition is unceasing. But we have the assurance of the Lord that His grace will be sufficient. He will help us. We can overcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who have been entrusted with this responsibility of preaching and teaching, they will have to give an account to God how they have discharged their responsibility. And God is not going to judge them by how popular they are or how many people have expressed their appreciation of their ministry, but the reality. Have they indeed faithfully discharged the ministry of preaching and teaching and caring for God's people and encouraging, helping God's people in the direction of God's revelation in the Scriptures? Yes, it is good if we can help others to know the truth. But the Apostle James also warns us, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. To those whom God has entrusted this responsibility, He expects them to discharge it with due care and diligence. And they will face a stricter judgment. But it's not just to those who have been entrusted with this responsibility. I now go on to the next point. The second point is that it is the solemn responsibility of every believer to seek to understand all he can of what God has revealed in the Scriptures and absorb the truth so that he can be properly equipped. It's not just dependence on others. All of us have this solemn responsibility. The Scriptures has been given to us so that we can be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scriptures have been inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That is God's intention. We all do affirm that we love the Lord, we appreciate, we thank God for the scriptures that He's given to us. But let us also recognize that together with this provision of God, this wonderful provision, is this responsibility on the part of every believer to seek to understand all he can. I say to seek to understand all he can. So you may say, but my ability to understand is quite limited. Not like some people, they can understand so readily, so much more easily. I have a lot of difficulty. It is all right. The point is, what is your attitude towards the scriptures? Have you sought to understand what you can? Have you sought to be diligent, to be responsible? Do you really value the scriptures? Or do you only say that you thank God that He has given us the scriptures? It is your responsibility. Every believer has this solemn responsibility to seek to understand and absorb as much as he can so that he can be properly equipped. By his own personal reading, prayerfully seeking to understand, as well as from whatever other ways that God makes available that's feasible, including at times when you have to make much effort. Whether it be learning from those whom God has given gifts in preaching, teaching, directly hearing these messages, learning from occasions where you can be taught, as well as in other contexts, in other ways and means, through books and so on. But in particular, always coming back to seek to understand what is it that God has revealed and what God desires to teach us through the scriptures. And also, not only ending with He Himself understanding these things, He also has the solemn responsibility to do what He can to encourage, to influence, to help others gain insight into and absorb the truths revealed. This is God's intention for all His children. So if we want to fulfill God's intent, then we must be concerned about this area for our own lives as well as for other brethren. If we love God, we love the brethren, then we must also do what we can to encourage this direction. The degree we understand and what we understand can help others to understand, we must seek to do our part. You may say, I do not know as much as others. So many others are more able. Well, we can still contribute our part. And we may not be able to contribute at times to help others to have a deeper grasp understanding of certain areas of truths and doctrines. But if we are walking with the Lord, a lively faith, then the way we talk about the truth can at times warm the hearts of others. They can help them to appreciate, for example, the appreciation of the sovereignty of God or the love of God in a deeper way. Can't we? It is feasible. Or to encourage others to a deeper love for the scriptures or a healthy approach to the scriptures, to the truth, and so on. When we come together and discuss in small groups as a congregation, do we pray in that direction and seek to have a conducive atmosphere whereby we can have a context where we are encouraging to one another towards a deeper understanding, towards a more accurate, a more wholesome appreciation of the truth? Do we seek to do our part through prayer and all other ways that is feasible in our conduct, in our ways, and also in our personal interactions at a personal level with different ones? This ought to be the whole way we live our lives. It is the will of God that all His children be properly equipped and bear good fruit with perseverance. Is that what we are committed to for our own lives, and also our prayer, our earnest desire and concern for all of God's children? The third point, spiritual insight and the spirit of it. But maybe I should stop here. because I have two more points. Perhaps we'll continue on this in the next message. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, also recognize the parallel there in times past. I considered with you the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and we know that it is meant to be a spiritual feast, a spiritual experience. And we cannot properly benefit from the Lord's Supper just by the physical elements of the bread and wine and the partaking of these elements. We need to understand God's intent for us in the Lord's Supper and partake of it in the right spirit, attitude, and with the correct understanding, so that indeed we may be strengthened by the life of the Lord and spiritually enriched in its various directions that God intends for us. Just as God has given us the scriptures, the printed texts in themselves do not benefit us. Even we read them, unless in our hearts we do align our desires with God's intent for us through the scriptures. And as we read, we look to the Lord to speak to us, and our hearts are open to the Lord to renew our minds and to enrich our lives. And so as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper, let us reflect on the spiritual principles involved that are similar in both of these aspects. Let us also prayerfully consider the meaning and implications of what Paul has communicated to us, that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Do we value the scriptures the way God desires of us? Does God have this freedom to speak to us, to correct us, to equip us, to teach us? As we read the scriptures, or as the truth in the scriptures are communicated to us through preaching and teaching and through the brethren, let us also ask the Lord to search our hearts as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. Father in heaven, we thank you for your deep love toward us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom and through whom we can be forgiven, reconciled back to you, have the gift of eternal life. And we thank you for every provision for us to grow unto maturity in him. Thank you for the scriptures you've given to us, that we may be equipped for every good work. Help us that we may learn truly to appreciate and value the scriptures you have given to us, not just paying lip service to it, but to respond appropriately, that your intent for us through the scriptures may be fulfilled, that there may be this deep hunger in our hearts to understand what you desire to communicate to us through the scriptures. That we will not come to the scriptures with our own ideas, biases, prejudices, preferences, such that we cannot hear what you are seeking to tell us, such that the truths therein find difficulty having a proper place in our hearts and minds, but that our hearts may indeed eagerly desire to learn, to grow, to be renewed by the truths revealed. And that you have the freedom also to search our hearts, that we may be corrected, and that we may indeed grow in moral spiritual stature. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine, Thank you for all that the Lord Jesus went through on our behalf at the cross. Help us to grow in appreciation of what He went through and also the implications for our lives. And that we may learn how to uphold, encourage one another in the direction of your calling, and that together your will for our lives may be fulfilled. We entrust our lives into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.